Thank you very much, Mr. Hansen. Good afternoon. Oh, good sunny afternoon to everyone. That is beautiful. Look at that out there. It's much better than, well, it depends on the circumstances, but it's usually better than liquid sunshine. I trust that everyone had a really good lunch. We had a very, very filling lunch. It was very good, and good fellowship and conversation. It's interesting, brethren, that the messages today, you know, God definitely has a part in the messages, of course. And there's been a common theme, a common thread that seems to be running through that. And this message is going to be no different today. In fact, I want to thank Mr. Carl Kinsella this morning. He pretty much gave my message, so I think I'll just see you. Thank you very much. No, I kid, of course. But I do actually, I honestly hope that you will, as we go through this message, that you would remember and consider his words, the message that he gave this morning, because they tie together very well, I think, and he fills in a lot of spaces where mine is a little more general in a lot of places. But on with the message. I will leave our second speaker a few minutes, I hope. Okay, there we go. So, question for everyone here. How many of you have heard of the Bomber gas station? It's in Milwaukee, Oregon. Okay, there was one, two, okay, a couple, three. All right. So some of you have heard of this big gas station that had a big old World War II bomber spread out over the top of it as a roof. That was 103 foot of wing there overshadowing the gas station and the pumps and all that. Very interesting sight, no doubt. Up until recently, the gas station was known for having that bomber over it, again, acting as a roof for the service station. Well, about 16 years ago, a group came along and expressed interest in actually buying that bomber and taking it home with them to a place right here in Salem, Oregon, actually. So after some negotiations, some back and forth, the owner of the gas station actually agreed to sell it to them. So they took it apart on site, right there at the gas station. They took it apart down to pieces that could be hauled away by semi-truck, and they hauled the whole thing down Interstate 5 to a hangar right here in the Salem Airport, where it sits today. Okay, so what in the world does buying an old bomber from a gas station have to do with the days of unleavened bread? Good question. The title of my message today is, Are We Spiritually Airworthy? Are we spiritually airworthy? Today, on this last day of unleavened bread, I would like to talk also about the themes of restoration and renewal and the role that this week of unleavened bread has hopefully played in that for each of us. It's going to be something of a review of what has been said and what has been done. And we review it in our minds and hearts and consider all the things that happened on this week with a specific eye on what we have learned this week. Okay, so that group of men and women that came along and bought that old bomber was part of a group called the B-17 Alliance. And to make a long and amazing story short, they bought that bomber from the owner of the gas station with the intent of restoring it, of renewing it to full flight status. They're actually going to put this thing back together, spruce it up, you know, get it all fixed up so it could actually fly again. Quoting from their website at b17alliance.org, they said the following. Serving as a service station canopy, in Milwaukee, Oregon for over 67 years, the World War II Flying Fortress, now known as the Lacey Lady, is undergoing complete restoration to airworthy condition at the Salem, Oregon Airport. Opened in January 2015 at Hangar C at historic McNary Field, that hangar houses the B-17 Alliance Foundation Museum and Restoration Facility, where you can watch our volunteers work toward restoring this iconic aircraft piece by piece. Established in 2006, the B-17 Alliance Foundation was created to restore the famous Milwaukee gas station bomber and return the Flying Fortress to its original flying glory. So this group of men and women has gathered together with the intent, again, of restoring this airplane. I'm going to go ahead and quote a little more here. The Flying Fortress called Lacy Lady was flown to Oregon in 1947 on a $5 bet by Art Lacy. Lacy flew the Flying Fortress from Altus, Oklahoma to Troutdale, Oregon to become the legendary Milwaukee gas station bomber along the superhighway in Milwaukee, Oregon, 99E, I think. The Lacy Lady is the most intact wartime B-17 Flying Fortress in the world under restoration today and holds the lowest amount of engine hours of any B-17 still in existence. The foundation really is an alliance working across the nation in collaboration with many partners to bring World War II aircraft back to the skies, end quote. Okay, so a little background on what they're doing. So, what does it mean to renew something? What does it mean to renew something? Well, according to Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary, defining renew means several different things. The number one definition that they have is to make like new, to restore to freshness, vigor, or perfection. Okay? Number two, to make new spiritually, or to regenerate. I thought it was interesting that that was in an online dictionary, but certainly a very appropriate meaning. Number three, to restore to existence. Number four, to make extensive changes in or to rebuild, to do again or to repeat, to begin again or resume, to replace or replenish. And there's several other meanings, but we won't go ahead and go into those at this time. So we're getting the idea. This is something of a transformation that these definitions are talking about, whether in status, whether in state, or other such like that. There are several synonyms for the word renew. I'll probably hit on a couple of those today, repair and restore. There's a few other ones I won't go into, except there was one here. I'm kind of going on a sidebar here a little bit now. I'd never seen this word before, revivify. I saw that and I was going, is that even a word? And I looked it up in Merriam-Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary and it wasn't even in there. So it's going, aha, it's not a word. I knew it. But as it turned out, dictionary.com came to their rescue and it means to restore to life. And I thought that was very interesting too. Anyway, brethren, all that, pushing that aside, each year, as we observe God's holy days, you know, from spring to Pentecost to the fall holy day season, we, of course, rehearse God's plan for the renewal of all things, and particularly of humanity, humanity being the pinnacle of God's creation. God, of course, has very special plans and purposes for humanity, as we all know. Well, these last 7 days, as the ecclesia of God, as Mr. Light referred to in his message, we have been doing exactly that, haven't we? We have kept these 7 days of unleavened bread. And in doing so, we are undergoing a renewing process ourselves. I want to go to to a passage in Romans. Now, Mr. Light has already visited this passage, but we're going to revisit part of it, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 specifically. I want to go ahead and read it again with an eye toward renewal and restoration. Romans chapter 12. I'm getting there. I'm in Acts. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. This verse here could be kind of considered the primary passage of this whole message today, really. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be leavened. by this world or anything in it, okay? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So during these days, we focus on this transformation process, right? This becoming cleansed, rebuilt, renewed, restored during these days, right? So I want to speak in general terms now to three points involved with what is needed to restore and renew an airframe or an aircraft and make it able to fly again, and how this applies to all of us. Okay? Point number one, to undertake a restoration of, in this case, an aircraft, we must appraise, inspect, and take note of any damage, of anything that's wrong, so that the renewal process can begin, okay? So appraise, inspect, take note of damage, okay? This way we have a kind of a laundry list of the things that need to be addressed in the aircraft that are going to have to be considered for removal or replacement. We take pictures, measurements, again, taking the inventory list of parts needing to be repaired, reconditioned, or replaced. All of these things have to be done before any actual work can be started on the aircraft, okay? And we focus on this for ourselves in the time leading up to Passover, don't we? Where we consider our lives spiritually and how that our lives have been over the past year, right? And we see, and this is a section of passage that we have visited many times already this year. But I want to go back there again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 27 through 30. 1 Corinthians, maybe some of us have this part memorized by now, which is good. All right, so Paul, of course, and breaking in here, verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Okay? Verse 28, but let a man examine himself. Let a man appraise himself. Take inventory. Take stock of his spiritual condition. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, who has not done these things and does not take it seriously, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Well, those symbols that Christ instituted, the bread and the wine, of course, representing his broken body and shed blood, are taken at the Passover after one has properly and thoroughly appraised his or her spiritual condition, like we just discussed. We compare ourselves not with one another, but with the only perfect example we have, Jesus Christ. We compare ourselves to him. How much are we like Jesus Christ? And thus, in doing so, we see the desperate need for our own renewal and restoration. As with that aircraft we've been talking about, there is a real danger of failure if a sincere, honest, and truthful effort is not made in the appraisal and inspection process. Okay? Point number two, repair, replace, and renew. Actually begin the process. Repair, replace, renew. Remove the damage, the corrosion. Remove the worn-out parts. Renew the airframe. One of the many issues that B-17 Alliance Group ran into after they took the bomber apart, did their appraisal, and started in on trying to replace things and repair things. Anyway, one of the issues they ran into was that pigeons had taken up residence in the airframe for many, many years. Okay? Pigeon excrement, as it turns out, is very corrosive to aluminum panels. The aircraft being made primarily of aluminum, this is a real serious thing to consider. They had been nesting in the open cavities of the aircraft. And in order to renew the airworthiness of this airplane, all of those many panels that made up the plane that were found lacking in integrity or excessive pigeon excrement, you might say, they would have to be unriveted, cut out, or just plain stripped from the aircraft. And replacements would have to be made by hand if they could not actually purchase a part to replace it. You see where this is going, how much work is involved in restoration and renewal. It's not for the faint of heart. Okay? As the project stands now, the group is in the process of rebuilding all four engines and the firewalls that the engines attach to. A firewall is just a big, heavy section of steel that is temperature resistant so that the heat from the engines won't be passed through to the rest of the airplane. So that's what they're working on at the moment. Okay, and again, they found parts that were corroded, parts that were worn out, and they would have to be replaced or rebuilt or constructed by hand. Well, there are strict parameters that have to be obeyed for replacement parts on aircraft. The rebuilders must go by the specifications that are given in the manual for the aircraft. We do this as well, don't we? As a focus of the Days of Unleavened Bread, but also throughout our entire lives, as we heard in the two messages this morning. It's not just a one and done. We know that. We can't just do unleavened bread and say, okay, I'm good for the rest of the year. No, I think we know that that is not how it works. Our manual, of course, the Word of God, our manual. And though John, excuse me, though 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 assures us that God's commandments are not burdensome, and they're not, the parameters in this manual are strict. And there's a very good reason why that is, isn't there? God wants us to obey Him according to His terms, right? We don't just make up our own thing, like Mr. Light was talking about with the ancient Israelites making their own gods and, you know, bowing to every stick and bush and branch and whatever they decided was a god that day. That is not going to work, obviously. But the parameters are strict because He knows us, doesn't He? He knows our character. Jeremiah 17 and verses 9 and 10, please. Again, familiar passages to us. I think Mr. Kinsella might have touched on this in his message. Jeremiah 17 and verses 9 and 10. This says it all in two verses, how well God knows our character. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. See, on our own, we're really damaged merchandise. Without God, we are damaged merchandise. And God, again, knows our being. And it is often leavened, isn't it? But God knows what it takes to change that. God knows exactly what to do. And in giving strict parameters, there cannot be any wiggle room for human reasoning, for pride, for outright sin. These things that we consider at Passover in the Days of Unleavened Bread that we have this past week, you know, trying to recognize those things that are sin in our lives, as like was mentioned in the messages today, taking in the physical symbols, removing the old, and taking in the new, and considering as we do it, why we're doing it and what we're doing, okay? Because if we allow things with wiggle room and things with those kind of characteristics, like an aircraft remanufactured to faulty specs and loose parameters, we too will crash and burn. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, we will read these again. These have been visited many times here in the past, even before Unleavened Bread. But in terms of renewal, restoration, and setting correct parameters for that, I want to go through this again. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Paul writes, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? It only takes a little bit of leaven. For an aircraft, it may only take a little bit of corrosion, a little bit of sloppiness in a part, or in following specifications, a little bit of carelessness in assembly, or a little bit of pigeon poo that got missed, maybe. That's all it takes sometimes to affect the integrity of an entire airframe assembly and potentially destroy the aircraft." Verse 7, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us, making all that possible. Be renewed. Be renewed. Be restored. Be thorough in removing what is bad, what is harmful, what is sin." Okay? In verse 8, "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened of sincerity and truth." The bread being in italics, there is an added word. Again, out with the old, in with the new. We know the principle. For the airplane, make sure the parts and the labor are of the best quality, that the best effort is made, and no imperfections allowed, done to the specifications of the original manufacturer. And again, what are the true specifications we must work by? I'd like to go to not John 17:17, although that's what it says there. It's very true. I want to go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. There are an awful lot of verses throughout the entire Bible that cover this principle. But Psalm 31 and verse 5, I passed it. Psalm 31 and verse 5, David speaking here, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." We go by God's specs, don't we? His parameters, his specifications. God is truth. We see that right here. And as John 17:17 says, God's word is truth. Anything from God is truth. Those are the specifications that we need to be guiding our lives, our renewal, our restoration. There's no better, is there? No better. We cannot find any more unleavened specifications than that. Okay? I also want to go to James 4 and verse 8. James 4 and verse 8, finally, for this point. Hello. James 4 and verse 8. "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Consider and use his specifications. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Okay, again, remove the bad and replace it with the good. That's what we've been doing. That's what we've been considering. Okay? Point number three. Test and confirm. Test and confirm. Is the aircraft airworthy? This is where the results of all the hard work and all the effort that has been made are bared out. How well was the work done? Will the airplane fly? Will it even get off the ground? And if it does, how well will it fly? Right? Will it respond to course corrections? And you know, this comes out in our actions too. you know, our reactions to what God instructs us to do and how we live our lives, right? When he gives us those course corrections that we often need, how do we respond? Does our rudder turn as it should? Does it guide into a turn when it's needed? Do our elevators, those flaps on the back of the stabilizers in the rear, do our elevators pull us up and away when what we're doing is sending us into a very quick and violent meeting with the ground? You know, we need those elevators when we're in that situation, and figuratively speaking, right? Have we indeed replaced the old with the new, the bad with the good, during these days of unleavened bread? If we were to appraise ourselves, even after sundown this evening, consider how we've done, the lessons we've learned. Again, are our lives showing that change, that renewal? Are we indeed becoming a new creation? Are we meeting the definition of a godly spirit within us, right? And part of that godly, you know, spirit, that definition, of course, is in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. I'll just refer to that and let you read it on your own. We know the characteristics there. I'd also like to go to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Actually, I will just refer to it because Mr. Kinsella already covered it in his message. But test yourself, like we're talking about with this newly refreshed, renewed, rebuilt aircraft. Test yourself and see if you meet God's specification. You know, brethren, ultimately, if the renewed aircraft meets or exceeds all of the conditions we've just discussed for it, it will receive a certificate of airworthiness from the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, right? That certificate will grant it freedom to fly under whatever conditions the certificate allows. You know, brethren, and we've heard about this today too, we'll one day stand before the judgment seat of God and be judged by Jesus Christ. We will appear before him. Will we get a certificate of airworthiness? Will we be told, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or will he find something lacking? Will he find corrosion? Will he find faulty parts or pigeon excrement? Again, quoting from the website posted by the B-17 Alliance Group, note some of the words that they use in this quote in describing the process that they've been going through. Okay, quote, "Restoring a vintage World War II aircraft is no easy task." I think we've seen some of that. "It requires a solid commitment on the part of the restorer and typically takes many years to accomplish. The restoration demands a large workspace, typically a hangar, specialized tools and materials, construction and metalworking skills, FAA certification, a financial commitment, unwavering passion for the project, and dedication to the end goal." Now, all those elements, brethren, have been discussed in the prior messages today as well. Dedication, commitment, passion. And Mr. Kinsella talked about this element as well, zeal. Do we have the zeal to carry on after these days of unleavened bread are over, which will be at sundown this evening, of course? And as Mr. Kinsella pointed out, we may be able to go back to our fluffy bread, our angel food cake, and all the little niceties of physical food. But where will we go spiritually? Where will we go? Will we stay on this road, stay on this path, always be watching for that spiritual leavening to come back into our lives? Brethren, we've seen that that group of dedicated people, you know, the B-17 Alliance, is working hard toward a finish. We heard about finish today as well. They're working toward a renewal, toward a restoration, a cause that they believe in. And yet, in all of this, it's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. And if all goes as it should, that renewed and restored bomber will fly again. It will take off from the Salem Airport, again, just a couple miles from here south, and begin a new life as a rebuilt airplane. But its former life has been cast off. It's no longer an instrument of destruction. It can actually be a thing of physical beauty to see these old airplanes come off the ground and fly once again. No longer built or able to destroy. Kind of, in a way, a new creation. I hope I get to see it when it makes its second maiden flight, which that will be its second maiden flight. Again, as a new creation. To me personally, it will be an inspiration as to what God is doing in our lives, if we extend the metaphor. Because God is building in us a new creation as well, isn't He? As long as we do our part and allow Him to do that work in us, right? So in review, brethren, in summary, during this week, we've concentrated on renewing our commitment to God, to removing the old man, the old ways, the sin that so easily ensnares us and continually sneaks in, that spiritual corrosion, that spiritual damage, that spiritual pigeon poo, and replacing all of that with the new, the good, the rebuilt, the spiritually fresh. You know, I know I'm pounding this into the ground. I'm saying it over and over again, but it is critically important to our spiritual well-being, isn't it? You know, have we truly been renewed by desiring and taking in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth? Is it really part of us? And I have to ask myself these questions too. As what I did this week in doing those things, have I taken that seriously? Have I taken this before God and showed Him desire to change, to be renewed, to take these things in and remember them? You know? How have we done? Okay? How have we done? And how will we do in the future to come, as has been discussed today? As we continue from these days of unleavened bread. It's a lot of work, no doubt. We all know that. We've all been part of that. But if we continue in it, brethren, make ourselves a pleasing sacrifice to God day by day, the rewards will be enormous, won't they? And they will be eternal. So as we continue to remove the old, the corroded, the worn out, the sinful, and continue to replace that with the new, the shiny, the work of God's hands in our hearts and minds and part of us, we'll continue our job of working with God, our Creator, to become beautiful and Christ-like inside, won't we? To allow God's Spirit to work in us, to de-leaven us, to change us, to renew us. So let us remember the lessons that we have learned these past 7 days and carry them with us into the future. Brethren, let us remember these days and always, always strive to maintain our spiritual airworthiness.